things that are close to being biblically true, but are not. And one that I have heard and thought myself has to do with forgiveness. We say to people who are separated from God by their sin, we say, God loves you, which is true. And then we say, He has forgiven your sins. He's already forgiven you, so just accept Him. And that's false. That is a false understanding of the biblical forgiveness of the gospel. Not only is it wrong, but we carry that kind of false understanding of forgiveness into relationships with each other. So let me explain what I mean about biblical forgiveness. First, forgiveness from God to people, and then between people. And hopefully this will stir some thinking about how we believe and act with forgiveness. So let's pray. Father, I ask that you would give us keen ears to hear your truth, that you would bless us with understanding. Lord, help us to understand your forgiveness more and what it means and what it is not meaning. Please, Father, we ask this, we need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's look at God's forgiveness of sin for his children. Forgiveness is letting go of an offense, you know, God giving up his claim of an offense done against him. Now, offense is way too soft of a word. It's sin. God giving up his claim of sin done against him. The reality is that all people have committed sin against God. In Adam, all have sin and all are sinning, purposefully sin, resulting in our alienation from God. But God's forgiveness is powerful. His forgiveness restores a good relationship with God and others, canceling all punishment our sin deserves. And when he forgives, the sinner is then counted as just. God sees the person as sin-free. That sin that covered them, that punishment the sinner deserved, is gone and taken care of in Jesus Christ on the cross. It's charged to Jesus. And the person has peace with God, and they receive the Holy Spirit living inside of them. They receive salvation. And not only is the person declared sin-free, they are standing before God in Christ as righteous. Christ's perfect obedience to all of God's laws, Christ's perfect conforming to all of God's ways, Christ's perfect love of God the Father is credited to the person who is forgiven. The forgiven person is brought into Christ and covered with Christ's perfect righteousness, so much so that when God looks at the forgiven, he sees a holy life because he clearly sees us in Christ. It's fantastic. So God forgives sin, justifies the forgiven, they're sin-free, makes the forgiven righteous in perfect standing before him in Christ, and then begins the lifelong process of sanctification, which is the Holy Spirit making the forgiven more and more like Jesus Christ. All of this comes from the forgiveness of God in Christ. And all of this is a gift from God, so no one can boast. So God's forgiveness is powerful. It's the biggest life change to ever, ever be experienced. But there are some things missing from this, what I just walked through. There are a number of things that happened before God gives forgiveness. A number of things that we can't slice up all neatly into some kind of a chart and sequence of events. But there are a number of things that God did to the Christian, gave to the Christian, that led to forgiveness. The first one is God opens the eyes of the sinner to his truth. So who is Jesus? Who people are? What we did? What Jesus did? All that is suddenly no longer stories or just information, but the truth. beautiful truth. God opens the understanding of hearts and minds so truth can be understood. And when he opens a person's eyes to his truth, they realize how holy and beautiful God is and how terrible sin is, and how they willfully embrace sin. Because, number two, God also gives the gift of repentance. The heart and the mind have genuine remorse and regret and sorrow for the sin done against the holy God. And that remorse produces repentance, a turning away from a life thinking that we are God, and a turning to God to worship him. So repentance is turning from sin and turning to Jesus, putting faith and trust in God through Jesus Christ. That's what Peter said to the crowd in Acts 3, verse 19. Now turn from your sins and turn to God so you can be cleansed of your sins. Number three, and in that repentance, we confess our sinfulness. We admit our sinfulness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what 1 John 1:19 says. So in that work of salvation God gave us, he gave us understanding of the gospel, repentance, remorse, confession, and faith and belief in Jesus Christ. So to receive forgiveness and be justified and made righteous, we must respond to God with repentance. We must turn to him and turn away from sin. We must repent and receive forgiveness. We see this in Jeremiah chapter 3 and chapter 4. Israel's been worshiping all kinds of idols, taking their sins so lightly, pretending to be sorry. And God called Israel to confess, to admit, to acknowledge their sin. They were to turn away from idols, get rid of them, plow up and cut away the hardness of their hearts. Repent! Repent! When that was done, God wouldn't hand out his anger against them, but give mercy and blessings and forgive them and cleanse their hearts and cleanse their minds. You know, throughout the Bible, God calls us to repent and receive forgiveness. He's very, very personal. Sin is done personally by us against him, alienating us from him. Forgiveness isn't some generic waving of the forgiveness wand on all people. It's always relational and personal, us taking ownership of our sin and coming to him with remorse and responding with repentance, which leads to forgiveness. If there is no repentance, if we don't believe we need to repent, that indicates a belief that we have nothing to be forgiven of. This shows that we don't understand the gospel. But repentance leads to forgiveness. God has not forgiven everybody, like we are tempted to say, because not everyone has repented and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. However, God is so good, he stands ready to forgive. The story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, where the father represents God and the wild son represents us, we see that God is ready to forgive. In Romans 2 verse 4, it says that God's kindness is meant to lead to repentance. We can see he's ready to forgive by the kindness he pours onto sinners, producing repentance, leading to forgiveness. And as we already heard, repentance is a gift given by God. And 2 Peter verse 3, chapter 3, verse 9 says that God is patient towards sinners, giving them time to be saved because he loves it when a sinner repents. So we can safely say that God is ready to forgive because he enjoys the repentance of sinners. So bring this all together. And what do we have? Number one, God is ready and willing to forgive. Number two, God offers forgiveness through Jesus to everyone. There are no conditions to the offer of forgiveness. So God is in a forgiving position. Number three, a response of repentance is needed. Repentance leads to forgiveness. The offer of forgiveness is unconditional. The receiving of forgiveness is conditional upon repentance, which means what will be present is an understanding of the gospel, remorse for sin, confession of sin, turning to a life of worshiping God, turning away from a life of calling your own shots. The repentant person wants to be forgiven, realizes they need forgiveness, and they will receive forgiveness upon repentance. And then number four, when forgiveness is given, reconciliation comes. Justification, made righteous, a complete change to the relationship between God and the individual, a complete change to the individual. They become a new creation. That's the way Scripture lays out God's forgiveness. He's ready. He offers forgiveness. Forgiveness is received upon repentance. Now, what about forgiveness between people? As a teenager, I was told that we are to forgive others. You don't need to talk to them or anything. Just forgive them in your heart and it's done. Sometimes in books or websites, we read of Christians forgiving others who did something to them, yet they never spoke to the person. Is that forgiveness? Now, I'm not here to kill some beautiful stories. I want to live biblically, so that's what I'm trying to think through here. So God calls his children to be forgiving. Romans chapter 12, verse 18 says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with others. So it's safe to assume this includes giving forgiveness and seeking forgiveness. In Matthew 5, verse 23 to 26, it says, if you're with the church and you know your brother has something against you, go and make it right before you begin worshiping. This means seeking forgiveness. Matthew 18, verse 35, and Luke chapter 6, verse 36, and Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, we are told to be merciful and forgive others as God has forgiven us. Real forgiveness given by us to others. And this coming from an understanding of how much we have been forgiven by God. If we are to follow God's example of forgiveness, then repentance is required for forgiveness to be given. Being asked for forgiveness comes before forgiveness is given. So, trying to think this through biblically, if someone hurts me and I'm legitimately hurt, not this hypersensitivity, you know, how dare anybody do anything against me, not that kind of stuff. If I'm genuinely hurt, and I follow God's way of forgiving, what does that look like? Well, first, I need to be ready to forgive. And how do I do that? I embrace my hurt. I admit that I'm hurt. I talk to the Lord about what is going on with me. What was done that hurt me? And why does it hurt? That's huge, isn't it? Many of us don't ask ourselves anything. Someone does something to me after the service. Hey, Edgar, nice try with the sermon. That hurts. But why? Why does that hurt? They're rude. Well, no, there's more. Guaranteed, there's more to it. Pride will be in the mix somewhere. I need to work through the hurt with the Lord. And then secondly, I have to... before the forgiveness, I have to understand what I have received from the Lord, the forgiveness I received from the Lord. I need to spend time thinking about the amount of sin that I've been forgiven. You know, this lines up with Matthew chapter 18, where it speaks about that unforgiving servant who's been forgiven so much and doesn't pass on that forgiveness. The guy did not think about what and how much he's been forgiven. When we know the magnitude of forgiveness we've received, something happens to our hurt, to our pride, to our sensitivity. We soften towards others because what we've done to God comes nowhere close to what has been done to us. Does that make sense? Once we start looking at what God has forgiven us, what you've done to me doesn't come anywhere close to what I've done to God. And something starts shifting in my heart because of the Holy Spirit. So thirdly, we got to let go of revenge. In our hearts and minds, we all want to pay back the person who did the hurting or the offending. We want to make them feel our pain, right? Or am I the only one? We want them to feel our pain. What we need to do is we need to work through that desire and hear God say, vengeance is mine, and what that all means, and let go of the revenge. So the first point is be ready to forgive by admitting your hurt, understanding why you're hurt, focusing on the tremendous amount of forgiveness that you've received, and letting go of revenge. And by the grace and enabling power of God, this will get you ready to forgive. So that's the first point. The second one, in trying to think through forgiveness biblically and following God's example of forgiving, offer forgiveness. Go to the person and speak with them. This means you have to let the person know you're hurt. Speak with them and specifically say, you hurt me the other day by, and then say it. Let them know what they did. This is putting yourself out there, letting it be known that something is up with the relationship. You're getting the ball rolling. You're giving an opportunity for the other person to ask for forgiveness. You're offering forgiveness, really. You've worked through with the Lord that you're hurt and why that hurts. You've looked at how much you've been forgiven. You've let go of revenge. And now you've created an opportunity for the person to receive forgiveness through an apology. Being ready to forgive and offering forgiveness is positioning yourself to forgive. You haven't forgiven anyone yet because no one has asked to be forgiven of anything. But you've worked through things with the Lord and you are ready and holding forgiveness out there. Number three, expect an apology and don't expect an apology. I think we all want genuine remorse coming from a heart that is remorseful. We don't want people to do with us what we do to our kids, right? Say you're sorry. Sorry. Good. That's good. We don't want to do that with each other. We want the offender to want to be forgiven, to see their wrong and deal with their sin done against us. But we can't control it. We don't know if it's coming. So we expect it and don't expect it. Either way, you've already worked through it with the Lord and now you're looking to restore the relationship, right? And then the fourth one, forgive. You're ready to forgive. You offer forgiveness. And when an apology is given, forgive the person. This will be an awesome moment. And you'll find yourself genuinely giving forgiveness for wrongs done to you, and the relationship will be restored. So be ready to forgive. Offer forgiveness. Expect an apology and don't expect an apology. And forgive when an apology is given. That seems to be following God's way of forgiving. But what happens when there is no apology given? When forgiveness is asked for? When there's no forgiveness asked for, what then? Well, I just happened to have an example here from this last week. I was driving down the highway, and my examples seem to come from highway driving often. So I pull out to pass a slower vehicle, right? And because I wasn't going fast enough for the vehicle behind me, I noticed in the rearview mirror that the driver behind me was getting very animated. Well, after I passed the slower vehicle, I didn't even have time to pull back into the right lane before the driver behind me also passed the slower car and pulled into the right lane, sped past me, and pulled back into the left lane in front of me, and then you can just guess what he did. No. Arm out the window. And saluting me. Right? Now, I didn't chase him down and stop him and say, you know, that really hurt me, you know. You offended me. And he didn't stop and say, oh, sorry, please forgive me for giving you the finger. So what do we do then? What do we do in a situation like that? My default is usually revenge and vengeance. That's the default that I go to. I come up with all kinds of scenarios and stories of how I could teach this guy to be a better citizen and a better driver. But forgiveness is all about living in a position of forgiveness, a disposition of forgiving, ready to forgive. So I had to work through why I was offended by what this driver did, how my pride was hurt. I wasn't a good enough driver, according to him. I didn't have a chance to show him I was way better than him. I had no control in this situation. I had to work through all that stuff with the Lord, confessing and admitting and facing what was going on in me. And then I thought about how and what the Lord has forgiven me. And the more I think about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the more I realize how loved and secure I am in Christ, and the more my pride gets killed, and the more I become humble and kind and compassionate and patient towards others, and the more I can accept others' faults, and the more I can put up with other people's behavior, because I look at how God, through Christ, loves me and forgave me and forgives me and puts up with my poor behavior. And the Holy Spirit is changing me, and I'm able to pass on some of that grace. I realize what others do to me doesn't come anywhere close to what I do to God, yet He forgives me. So who am I? Am I greater than God? No. And at this point, I'm more able to give up my desire for revenge and able to give up the situation to the Lord. You know, the more we dwell on Jesus Christ and our salvation in Him, the steadier we become living in a forgiving disposition, ready to forgive. Where a driver yelling at us and giving us the finger doesn't have its staying power, that festering and growing power in our hearts. What we do is we need to take all our feelings, our hurts, take them to the Lord and hear Him say, "You're right. What they did really stinks. I know exactly how you feel. And I will deal with their sin. So leave that with me. Let my role as judge satisfy your desire for revenge and let it go. And enjoy living in my forgiveness as my child." We don't have to be trapped by sin or harm done to us. We don't have to be locked into that sin forever. Genuinely work through being ready to forgive. Genuinely work through offering forgiveness and experience God's freedom, even if an apology is not given. So repentance leads to forgiveness. For only when there is repentance is the person asking for forgiveness, and with between God and us, then God is ready to forgive our sin. If you have never repented of your sin, if you're hearing this morning, you go, "I've never repented of my sin." Then if you've never confessed your sin and put your faith and trust in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you know, perhaps today God is giving you the gift of open eyes to His truth and repentance and faith and forgiveness of sin. Maybe He's offering you that today. So take it. Take God's offering today and begin living in worship of the only holy and loving God. But know for sure that God has not forgiven everybody their sin. Because not all people are forgiven. Not all people are going to heaven. People must repent to receive forgiveness and be saved. Repent and believe. And with our relationships with people, with each other, let's follow God's example that He's laid out of being ready to forgive, offer forgiveness, and forgive once repentance, once an apology has been asked for. And even if an apology is not asked for, enjoy the freedom that God brings through a life that's ready to forgive. Church, let's steep ourselves in the gospel, feeding and drinking deeply from Jesus Christ, and watch our hearts turn into ones that are ready to forgive. Amen? Amen. We're going to have the musicians come on up, and we're going to respond to God through a song. But just before we start singing, let me lead us in prayer. So let's pray together. Father, I ask that You would help us to understand the gospel, not just to leave it at ask Jesus into your heart and giddy up, let's get going, but to know what You have given us, to know how You have saved us. Father, let that truth be sealed in our hearts and our minds according to Your word. Father, help us in our communicating Your gospel to other people to communicate it right, to communicate it the way You have revealed Your salvation. Lord, help us as Your children to live in a forgiving way, to live ready to forgive. Father, help us to not be quick to go and talk to people about the hurt that's been done against us, but help us to go quickly to You and talk to You about the hurt that's been done against us. Lord, help us to do that. Gossip is juicy and gossip is fun to give and to hear. Help us not to go that direction. Lord, let us be people that work through our hurts with You first and foremost, and then ready to forgive others and give the forgiveness and bring restoration to relationships. Lord, this is so hard. Relationships are so hard. They are not easy. And Father, we desperately need Your help. So please come, change us, line us up to Your word. For Your glory, we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.